The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed Daily Scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 8th through Sunday, December 14th, 2025. The commentary for December was written by Dorothy Sanders Wells, who serves as Bishop of the Diocese of Mississippi. Committed to working for racial healing, justice, and equity for all of God's people, she was a lawyer for many years before leaving the practice to follow God's call to ordained ministry. She and her husband Herb have two daughters. The commentary for Monday, December 8th, begins as follows with a passage from Psalm 25, verse 6. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love and for the sake of your goodness. Here's the commentary. When I was 13 years old, a student at my high school tried to stab me. I was saved by two upperclassmen, tall boys who happened to see the knife headed for my back and grabbed the girl who wielded it. The principal met with my mother and, concerned about my safety, suggested I complete the few remaining weeks' assignments and exams in the office. For a nerd who loved school, his well-intentioned solution was like a prison sentence. Angry and hurt, I lashed out against one of my best friends, who patiently allowed my ranting. She gave me space to grieve all that had happened, but she didn't turn away. However understandable my anger may have been, that moment of lashing out was undoubtedly hurtful to my friend. Her gracious response forgave my anger. She remained a steadfast friend, and I am grateful for her forgiveness and her care. I am even more grateful for a loving God who sees us in our weakest moments and loves us through them all. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For your name's sake, O God, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. And the moving forward question for this Monday: how may you be called to let go of the weak moments and allow God's love to shine through you. The commentary for Tuesday, December 9th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Kathy Izzard, author of The 100-Story Home, recalls in the book her work as a volunteer at an urban soup kitchen that had expanded its services to include an art room and a vegetable garden. When Kathy rather proudly showed off the work the soup kitchen was doing with a previously homeless man, he asked her, "Do you do all this good in the day and then lock the homeless neighbors out to the bad at night? Where are the beds?" Stunned by his question, Kathy suddenly found herself propelled forward to help create housing for chronically homeless persons. She named the apartment building after the man whose question had challenged her to reconsider what it meant to love God and neighbor. Turns out that loving God and loving neighbors as ourselves can empower and embolden us to do things that we never thought we could do. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this Tuesday from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked them a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. And the moving forward question for Tuesday is, how might God be calling you to love your neighbor? The commentary for Wednesday, December 10th, begins with another passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. "The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." James Earl Carter, Jr., 39th President of the United States, died on December 29, 2024, at age 100. Although President Carter's 4 years in the White House have been described by many as plagued by conflict and inflation, the years following his term of office defined him as a servant leader for the ages, as he remained committed to the pursuit of peace and justice for all of God's people. Receiving a Nobel Peace Prize in 2002 for his decades of untiring effort to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts, to advance democracy and human rights, and to promote economic and social development, President Carter continued to write, teach, and build homes for Habitat for Humanity, and do, in his words, "whatever I can, wherever I can, whenever I can, for as long as I can," God invites us to turn our focus away from ourselves and toward the needs of God's world. Doing so helps us remember our true purpose and aim for our true reward. Now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, how might God call you to exemplify servanthood? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, December the 11th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 37, verse 6. "He will make your righteousness as clear as the light, and your just dealing as the noonday." Justice seemed a long time coming. For Donald Eugene Gates, wrongfully convicted of murder in 1982, justice didn't come for 29 years. For Anthony Broadwater, wrongfully convicted for the rape of author Alice Sebold, justice didn't come for 40 years, and only came about when Sebold's memoir, Lucky, Her Story of the Rape and Broadwater's Trial, was being considered for a film, and gaping holes appeared in Broadwater's conviction. For Ricky Lee Webb, wrongfully convicted of rape and murder, justice didn't come for 46 years. For all of these men, innocence projects brought justice and light to the darkness of injustice. However dark the days of injustice seem, with justice comes the brightness of God's light, for those who seek to do justice and for those who seek a just outcome. And now I'm going to read the Psalm 37 from verses 1 through 18. "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to kill those who walk uprightly. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous person has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. And the moving forward question for this day, how do you actively work for justice? Now the commentary for Friday, December the 12th, the day on which we commemorate St. Francis de Sales. It begins with a passage from Psalm 31, verse 1a. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. The past few years have been marked by several natural disasters in the United States. Hurricanes hitting Florida and wiping out coastal communities. Catastrophic flooding leveling parts of North Carolina, East Tennessee, and Georgia. Fires raging through Southern California. Families who safely evacuated during the California fires gave thanks for having their lives spared, even as they grieve the loss of loved ones, homes, jobs, and cherished photos and family keepsakes. Amid the despair were moments of thanksgiving. A couple whose home was lost in the fires safely escaped with their children and was able to shelter in the arms of loved ones as they processed how to move forward. A man whose home was completely destroyed was reunited with one of his dogs. A woman whose house had been destroyed found her wedding ring in the rubble. O Lord, we seek our refuge in you. When all else around us feels uncertain and frightening, please be our guide and work lovingly through us as neighbors to help us always feel your presence. And now I'm going to read further from Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like the one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, how are you called to be the image bearers of God? The commentary for Saturday, December 13th, begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 24, verse 3b. tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? It always seemed that shortly before a hurricane headed toward the Gulf Coast, the weather was particularly beautiful. Cloudless skies and gentle breezes lulled us into a false sense of security. Will the storm really be as bad as predicted? It's so beautiful right now. But there were signs of the coming storm. Birds and gulls were gone. Dogs and cats stayed close by their humans. The weather forecast was sufficient warning, but when nature changed around us, we knew the storm was coming. Living on the coast meant being attentive to forecasts and learning how to prepare as storms approached. We continued doing laundry, covering windows, storing water, and gathering lanterns, candles, radios, batteries, and shelf-stable food. When the winds began to howl and the rains came, the storm pointed my older relatives to prayer and hymn singing, drawing them ever nearer to God in the dark, tempestuous night. And now the full passage from Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will hand you over to be tortured, and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Then many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come." And the moving forward question for this Saturday: what signs point you to a closer relationship with God? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, December 14th. It is the third Sunday of Advent. It begins with a passage from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8a. "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient." Farming is a science. The success of a harvest depends on the amount of sun and rain and the right number of days of cooler and warmer temperatures. Too much rain, an unexpected deluge, could be disastrous, ruining an entire harvest. Too much sun, the harvest could bake in the heat, desperate for a day of nourishing rain. Farmers spend much of their time studying and preparing for every possibility. There's a lot of patient watching and working to reap a good harvest. But the farmer's patience is not passive. It's active. The farmer has carefully studied and tilled the soil and sown the seeds. He has examined the soil for many intrusive insects. He has taken advantage of every sunny day and planned for every rainy one. There is patience in not harvesting too quickly, but also knowing not to wait a day too long. Our patience in tending to our own lives requires just as much proactive and diligent attention as our anticipation of the coming of the kingdom. And now I'm going to read this passage from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we called blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, what does it look like to be patient in waiting for God? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.